Jess. Thanks for joining me in my walk this morning. I'm really looking forward to talking about Martin Luther King Jr. Most students know his name, and I can't wait to share more about one of the most well-known leaders of the civil rights movement in the United States.
Thanks for asking me to join you, Laura. I always find it helpful to collaborate with another teacher and share information on how to best present a topic to my students. Before we get started, let's remind our listeners to walk with only one ear covered because it's important to remain aware of what's going on around us. Walk quickly, but no running. Before we get started talking about Dr. King, I wanted to share a story with you. I was talking to one of my students earlier today about his test score. He didn't do well on his math test, and when I asked how he prepared for the test, I was surprised by his answer.
Why? What did he say?
Well, he said he didn't prepare at all for the test. He felt it wouldn't make any difference. He said he's not smart like the other kids. He said it's like his brain is a small glass and everyone else's brain is like a big glass and can hold more information.
Boy, he really doesn't feel good about himself. That's sad because it's probably affecting more than just his math grades.
You're right, it is. He doesn't want to try new things and gives up easily when things start to get a little more difficult. He always seems disappointed in himself.
What are you going to do?
Well, I explained to him that his brain was like grass, not a glass. That it grows as we learn new things, and that we are in charge of making our brains bigger. So we actually grow our brains as we are getting smarter.
What did he say to that?
He asked what he could do, and I told him his brain needed sleep and healthy food like the rest of his body. But he especially needed to make the effort to learn. I explained, mistakes are a natural part of learning, and we all make them as we learn something new and challenging. But the most important thing was that he needed to make the effort to learn. He found it really interesting when I told him his brain cells make new connections as he learns, and that once he makes the effort to learn something, it will be easier to do it again because his brain would have a path to that information.
I use the example of playing sport in my class. If you want to shoot a basket, you don't just sit around and wish you could make a basket. You need to practice. With practice comes success and the ability to actually make baskets.
That's a great example. I'll share that with my class tomorrow. Thanks.
My pleasure. Now, talking about sharing information, have you thought more about how we could share information about Martin Luther King Jr.'s life?
Well, I think it's really important to understand what America was like when Martin Luther King Jr. was growing up. He had a happy childhood and enjoyed playing baseball, had a paper route to earn money, and was a member of the Boy Scouts. He did very well in school, and because of his efforts, he skipped grades and started college at 15.
I'm sure he put in a lot of effort to learn so much so quickly.
Yes, he did. But because he was Black, some of his earliest memories were also of being treated worse than white children. He said he remembered that when he was 6 years old, two white neighborhood boys stopped playing with him because he was Black. Later, he saw how his father reacted to being told to move to the back of a store in a section reserved for Black customers. His father said, "We'll either buy shoes sitting here, or we won't buy shoes at all." Then his father took his hand and walked out of the store.
I'm sure those experiences helped him want to make changes in our country.
I'm sure they did also. But one event he especially remembered and said later, "I don't think I have ever been so deeply angry in my life."
What happened?
Martin won first prize in a speech contest during high school. When he was coming back to Atlanta by bus, he and his teacher were ordered to give up their seats to white passengers. They had to stand in the aisle of the bus for the 90-mile trip.
That makes me so angry to realize how Black people were treated unfairly because of the color of their skin. And in the South, there were actually laws enforcing the unfairness he and his teacher experienced.
Yes. As well-educated as Dr. King became, he was still discriminated against. I plan to explain how Black people did not have the same opportunities or rights as white people.
I think it's important that we mention that Southern states, like Alabama, where Dr. King grew up, passed laws that made segregation legal. These laws kept Black people poor and separated from white. Our students will be interested to know that Black people could not eat at the same restaurants or drink from the same water fountain or swim in the same pools or go to the same schools or even ride in the same section on city buses as white people. It was hard for a black student to get a good education because the schools they attended didn't even have the same amount or quality of materials or supplies. Many of them looked like they were about to fall down.
Maybe we should have our students experience what schools for black students were like back then.
We could ask them to walk 3 or even 10 miles to school, since the black students weren't allowed on school buses.
Oh, and we could turn off the heat during the winter. We'd also have to turn off the water and electricity, since most schools where black students attended didn't have running water, electricity, or even inside bathrooms.
While our students would better understand the conditions of schools in the South that were provided for black students, I'm sure they would have a hard time paying attention since they would be tired and uncomfortable.
I agree. And while I didn't grow up experiencing segregation, even thinking about it now makes me angry. I want my students to know that when the Civil War ended in 1865 and all enslaved people were freed, it didn't mean black Americans were treated equally and fairly. They weren't. It wasn't until Dr. King's tireless efforts in the 1960s, nearly 100 years after the abolition of slavery, that the civil rights movement really began to make sure that black people had the same opportunities as white people.
I tell my students that the civil rights movement is the name given to the fight for freedom and equality for black people in America. After we talk about segregation and how black people were discriminated against and made to feel that they were not as good as white people, I think they'll understand why the civil rights movement started.
It's important to tell our students that not all white people discriminated against black people. Many white people hated segregation and knew it was wrong. Many white people became actively involved in the civil rights movement.
That would be a good fact to mention. Okay, so let's head back to Montgomery, Alabama in the year 1955. Dr. King at that time was a young minister, and he was leading one of the first protests of the civil rights movement. The protest was against the bus company that had Rosa Parks arrested after she refused to give up her seat on the bus to a white passenger.
We should probably review that the bus company's rules made white bus drivers follow the bus segregation laws in place at that time. Those laws insisted that black people pay for their bus ticket at the front of the bus, get off the bus, and then walk to the back of the bus to get on. Then, black passengers had to sit in the back of the bus or in the middle of the bus if the back was full. And if a white person wanted a seat, a black person had to give up their seat for the white person. I discovered in my research that as a boy, Dr. King was made to give up his seat on the bus for a white rider too.
It's sad to realize that the bus segregation laws even impacted how some buses were made in the South. The seats for the white passengers in the front were better. Even the hand grips that white passengers used were more comfortable and made of better material than those found in the back of the bus.
Rosa Parks was sitting in the neutral part of the bus when she was arrested and had to pay a fine. Other black people had been arrested also for not obeying the bus segregation laws.
Right, and by the time Rosa Parks was arrested, black civil rights leaders had a plan to bring more attention to their cause by boycotting the buses, and the plan included Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Even today, I'm inspired when I listen to speeches written by Dr. King. It's easy to understand why Dr. King was asked to become involved with the bus boycott that took place after Rosa Parks was arrested. And based on his earlier experiences, it's easy to understand why he wanted to fight segregation laws.
I agree. Dr. King and other black leaders asked Montgomery's black population not to ride the buses. He believed that nonviolent, peaceful protests against segregation and the unfair treatment of black people would be much more effective than fighting. Dr. King decided that peaceful protests would be the best way to fight the injustice happening in America. And it worked. Even though some whites were violent and even bombed Dr. King's house, Dr. King insisted that the bus boycott continue to be nonviolent. Eventually, the highest court in America, the Supreme Court, ruled that segregation on the buses was against the Constitution of the United States. Black people could no longer be forced to sit in the back of the buses or forced to give up their seats to white people.
Dr. King won the bus segregation battle, but he wasn't finished fighting for civil rights. My next thought is to talk about Dr. King's famous I Have a Dream speech that he gave in 1963 in Washington, D.C. I would love to have been in Washington, D.C. that day in 1963 and have heard Dr. King in person. People came to Washington, D.C. from all over the United States. Both black and white people arrived by buses, trains, cars, and some even walked from Brooklyn, New York, over 230 miles. Altogether, over 250,000 people gathered to hear the speakers and demand equal rights for all people.
Dr. King was the last speaker, and definitely the most powerful speaker. Many people consider it one of the greatest speeches ever given. I will definitely show a video of Dr. King giving his I Have a Dream speech.
I've listened to it so often that I've memorized parts of his speech. I have a dream my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. He also dreamed of an Alabama where little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers.
I bet he was remembering when his white friend's mother told him to go home because he wasn't allowed to play with her white sons anymore.
I'm sure he was.
People around the world were inspired by his Washington, D.C. speech, and the next year, in 1964, Dr. King was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. This prize is given to the person who has done the most for peace in the world that year.
It's amazing that he was only 35 years old at that time. He was the youngest man and the second African American to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
I've often thought about what he might have been able to continue to do for our country if he wasn't killed in 1968.
I've thought about that also. Dr. King was planning a Poor People's March in Washington, D.C. when he was shot. He had just flown to Memphis, Tennessee to help garbage workers get equal pay, and he was murdered when he stepped outside his hotel room. He was shot by James Earl Ray. Ray was an extreme racist, someone that believed black and white people should not have the same rights. Ray shot Dr. King because he wanted to try to stop the work Dr. King was doing. Ray did not want black people to have the same rights as white people.
That's so sad. I visited Atlanta, Georgia, where Dr. King is buried. The words he used to end many of his speeches are printed on his tombstone. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
Because we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the third Monday of every January, my students have learned about Dr. King in earlier grades. But I want them to really appreciate how he dedicated his life to justice and equality and made our country a better place, not only for Black Americans, but for all Americans.
I agree. By studying his life, we see how his actions inspired a nonviolent movement that challenged the segregation laws of the South.
The year Dr. King received the Nobel Peace Prize, the United States Congress passed the Civil Rights Act, making it illegal to treat people differently because of their skin color. That was followed in 1965 by Congress passing the Voting Rights Act to make sure all Americans, black and white, had the right to vote. Despite this progress, black people in the United States still deal with discrimination and voting restrictions today.
Dr. King was a brave man. It had to be very hard for Dr. King to continue to nonviolently fight for equal rights when people were using violence against him and those working with him. Makes me wonder what I would have done.
I've thought about that same thing. People threatened to kill him and bomb his house while his family was inside. He never gave up believing that love could overcome hate.
Thank you for walking with me today. I really enjoyed discussing Dr. King's life with you. And I hope after we study Dr. King's life with our students, they will understand why Dr. King is considered a hero to the people of all colors, all over the world.
It was my pleasure. Walking classroom students, As you head back to class, discuss with a partner what you think are the three most important things we should understand about Dr. King's life and how his life changed our country.
As always, happy trails.